So then today is Quinquagesima Sunday, and the Wednesday is Ash Wednesday in the beginning of Lent, and then a day of obligation for the fasting. So they were obliged to fast under pain of mortal sin on this Wednesday. There's only 2 days left where it's still under obligation under pain of mortal sin in the new law, and that's Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. You should fast throughout the entirety of Lent, and then, of course, to abstain from meat on all the Fridays throughout the year. But on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, we're obliged under pain of serious sin to abstain from meat and to follow the fast. And so that Ash Wednesday is coming up in a few days this week. So take note of that. No meat on Ash Wednesday, and also the fast, which means two small meals, which taken together aren't larger than the main meal. So the epistle for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy. Charity is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear, and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And then the gospel. And it's taken from that according to St. Luke chapter 18. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written through the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day he will rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside, begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him. But he cried out all the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, What wouldst thou have me do for thee? And he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. At once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So as we're ready to enter into the season of Lent, obviously the season of preparing for Good Friday, preparing for the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on a cross, preparing for our redemption and then the resurrection to follow. So these next 40 days are preparing for this. And fitting that the church put the gospel, our Lord telling his apostles, we are now going to Jerusalem. We've been there many times before, but this is the last time. And we're going to Jerusalem that all the prophecies and that was written concerning the Son of Man and his suffering may be fulfilled. He'll be beaten and scourged and mocked and crowned with thorns and crucified and so on. And it says that the evangelist says, and they did not understand him. It was hidden from their eyes. And that's the way it was with the apostles. Because they could not comprehend the mystery and the beauty of the crucifixion. But now that we have seen it, it should not be in the same way hidden from our eyes. We know that Christ is going to be crucified, or that he is crucified and on the cross until the end of the world. And that there is something that comes to us, some good that comes to us, only through suffering. There is no other way of accomplishing certain goods. Gold is only purified by the fire, as it says in the Old Testament. Charity is purified by fire. There must be some pain in order for charity to be purified. And when it comes to our own spiritual life, as we enter into the season of Lent, as St. Ambrose would say, the tithing of the year, one-tenth of the year given to God in a sacred and special way. But as we enter into this season of Lent, and we get ready to tithe the year, what is it that we are trying to achieve? We know that Jesus Christ is going to be crucified on Good Friday. We want to be ready to stand at the foot of the cross with Our Lady and to profit from that crucifixion. And then we want to be with Him at the resurrection. But what is it that we're trying to achieve? And St. Paul says what it is in the epistle. Chapter 13 in the first letter of the Corinthians. It is charity. Charity is what we must try to achieve. Remember that God only loves the human heart. And the human heart is only truly perfected by supernatural charity. And all the external things that we do, ultimately, are in order to perfect charity. So our external practices, such as going to Mass on Sunday and saying the daily rosary, putting up with troubles and difficulties, all of these things are done with a precise purpose. One of our problems nowadays is that we do things without a goal, without a purpose. We don't know what we're trying to achieve. Now, we all know that we're trying to go to heaven, but heaven seems so far away. What is our proximate purpose? What do we do in order to make sure that we achieve heaven? What do we do to make sure we achieve our goal of giving glory to God, which is our first purpose as creatures of God? It is to develop charity inside of our own hearts. St. Paul makes it clear by his statements. Without charity, we are nothing. With charity, we can accomplish all things. But without charity, we are nothing. And then he gives some explanations of the signs of charity. Charity is love, and love is the most beautiful of all the virtues that can be in this life, but it's also the biggest. And when something is very large, you can't describe it in one word. It's necessary to point to its effects. We describe it by its effects. What is a dog? A dog is a hairy thing with four legs and a snout, and it barks. So if you hear barking and you see the four legs and the hairy thing, then maybe that's a dog. But in fact, the true essence of a dog is none of those things. There's something more. But if you want to describe it to others, we have to describe it by its effects, describe it by the things visible to us. So likewise, St. Paul describes charity by its effects. What does charity do? And if we don't do these things, it means we don't have it. Or at least we don't have it sufficiently or as we should. So what we want to do in the season of Lent and throughout the whole year is to develop this habit of charity. Here are some of the signs of charity from St. Paul. Charity is patient, is kind. And here the negative signs are the easier tests. Charity is patient and kind, but what is charity not? Charity does not envy. Do we have a problem with envy? Then let's work on that during the season of Lent. Envy is the death of charity. We worry about the good of others. We're jealous. Charity does not envy. Charity is not pretentious. You know, pretentious is a requirement for any kind of service job. If you are not pretentious, then you can't get a service job. You need to be able to stand behind the counter and say, "Sir, I really want to help you." Which really means, "Sir, I want to get my paycheck, and if I curse at you like I want to, I won't get it." Most service jobs and people-related jobs nowadays depend upon pretentiousness. Charity is not pretentious. Are we pretentious in our dealings with our neighbor? Charity is not pretentious. Charity is not, in the modern word, nice. It is something that comes from the heart, something natural, so to speak, from our being. If charity is in us, we simply behave a certain way because that's the way we are. We don't put on a front. We are trained to be pretentious in the modern world. And if you look at the attacks of the devil, they are all the essential, the most effective attacks of the devil are the attacks that are meant to destroy charity because of a very simple fact, very simple theological fact. If I die with charity in my heart, I go to heaven. And if I die without it in my heart, I go to hell. Very simple. Charity in my heart, heaven. Charity not in my heart, hell. The devil wants all of us in hell. Therefore, his primary purpose is to destroy charity in us. And he uses all kinds of tricks. Well, there are also steps to establishing and firming up charity inside of us, which is to go opposite of those tricks. No envy. Be not pretentious. Is not puffed up. Is not ambitious. Is not self-seeking. Is not provoked. That's a very good test right there. Is not provoked. We use that term often. Why do we get angry too much? Because we have no charity. That's the reason. Charity is not provoked. You can't provoke someone that has charity. David, filled with the charity of God, his son Absalom had turned against him. And David was walking away, leaving his own kingdom, and it seemed as though his kingdom was destroyed, and that his time was over, and his own son was going to kill him. And his few faithful servants are traveling with him. And Abishai comes up and starts mocking and cursing David. He tries to instigate David by himself, Abishai does. And Joab goes over to kill Abishai. And David says, "Do not kill him. Leave him alone. For if God has allowed me to be hated by my own son, why should I be disturbed but that one of my enemies hates me? If God has allowed me to be cursed by my own son, then I should not be disturbed to be cursed by others." Therefore, he was not bothered by the cursing of Abishai, and he refused to allow him to be punished. He was not provoked. He was not motivated by an attack against himself. This is what St. Ambrose says is the cause of much anger. St. Ambrose says that anger is often caused by an attack against my own self-worth and my own pride. You know, if I don't have this pride, and if I don't have this false feeling of self-worth, then when someone attacks it, I am not disturbed. I am not provoked. Notice the statement of St. Paul is not provoked. Not it doesn't react. Is not provoked. It is not disturbed. True charity is not disturbed by this attack. It's just as a giant is not disturbed when a little child says, "I'm going to beat you up." He's not disturbed because he is not threatened in any way by that child. Charity is not disturbed, is not provoked. It's a good resolution, I think, during the season of Lent. Remember St. Augustine used to say every year at this Sunday before season of Lent started, or actually be next Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, he would say every single year, at the beginning of every one of his sermons, the beginning of every single Lent that he was a priest, "Your first fast is a fast from sin." St. Augustine said it every year. "Your first fast is a fast from sin. What good does it do to not eat bread if we still are with our sins?" Our purpose is to develop charity. And two things that it is not pretentious, doesn't put on a fake show like all those in the service industry. And it is not provoked. Learn, when you want to overcome anger, it is not good to say, "I'm not going to react even though I think I should." It is rather better to realize that we should not be disturbed in any way by the attacks of our enemies. In this way, we will learn to not, over time, to not even be disturbed when some people yell and scream at us. We have to interiorly develop a kind of a sense and a spirit of calm which charity develops in us. And charity is not provoked. And some of the things that cause it: thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices in the truth. These are all things that happen when charity is in the heart. We're always looking for revenge in one way or another. What are all the movies about? All the good stories? They're all about revenge. And we have a feeling of satisfaction when we have achieved revenge. Charity is not this way. Now, it will take us a lifetime to develop and grow in this charity, but we must always remember our goal. Everything I do as a Catholic, in the realm of virtue, in the realm of activity, in all my actions, whether it be going to Mass, saying the Rosary, trying to overcome anger or impurity or whatever the problem might be, all of them have the same purpose: the development of charity. Why are you going to fast during Lent and offer something up? To strengthen the will, which is the place where charity is seated. And if my will is stronger, because I was able to give up my fourth dessert consistently for the whole 40 days of Lent, and if my will becomes a little bit stronger because of that, then it is now capable of receiving a little more charity. So that's the purpose of the fast of Lent. It's the purpose of everything that we do. And endures all things, hopes all things, believes all things. But we must endure all things. Prophecies will disappear, tongues will cease, knowledge will be destroyed, but charity remains. Commentaries of the theologians: charity remains. What they say that means is, there are only two things we carry into eternity: our merits and our demerits. And our merits and demerits cling to charity. They cling to the will. Whenever we do a good action for the love of God, it clings to us and it remains for all eternity. And when we do something evil, it clings to us and it remains unless it is forgiven. And when we go into eternity, God looks at that charity and looks at the heart. And he sees in that heart there are many venial vices, and therefore you have to go to purgatory because you have not burned them out by the perfect love. But if you have burned them out with perfect love, then you go straight to heaven. Or if there is no charity in the heart and it has been destroyed by mortal sin unforgiven, then you go to hell. But it is charity that is the measure of all those things that are eternal inside of the human heart. The body shall rot, and all things of this earth shall cease, but charity will not cease. And so we really must develop charity. It's the way we're going to convert the world and be apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the modern sense of charity, which is simply an external being of nice and trying not to offend people. A mother that has charity does not try to avoid offending her son. She feeds him good food. And if he only wants candy bars, that's too bad. He can't just have candy bars. Because he needs a healthy child. The mother that loves a child does not always let the child do whatever he wants. The mother that loves a child often lets the child do what he wants. But she does not always let the child do what he wants. Because she wants the child to grow in love and the child to become strong and the child to be a good member of the society later on. And that means he has to develop character. So charity is not about avoiding offending people. Charity is about living according to the love of God and not living according to the love of self, which is our problem. And when charity sets itself inside of us, we're no longer offended by the attacks that others make against us. We care only about God. And we might be offended when he is attacked, but we will not be offended when we are attacked. And we must learn to develop that, not be provoked, not strike to envy. We must develop charity inside of ourselves, and this is the only way in which we can truly and effectively spread the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. The way described by St. Paul, the greatest of all apostles of all time. And therefore, it is the only way. And so we'll try to develop it in ourselves during the season of Lent. Remember Ash Wednesday to fast and to abstain from meat, and then make some resolution to start on Ash Wednesday to follow during the season of Lent. A simple and small one is better than a big one. And so a simple and small one that you'll follow throughout the 40 days in order to prepare for the crucifixion of our Lord on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, his resurrection. I'll close with that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.